Good morning and welcome to another edition of Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan pinch hitting this weekend for Christy McManamy and thrilled to be joined by someone who needs little introduction in our community, Mr. Doug Rice, who is the chairman and CEO of Security National Bank. Doug, welcome to Grow Siouxland.
Good morning, Chris. It's great to be with you this morning.
We're happy to have you. Thanks for carving out a little bit of time from your Saturday. And before we go any further, I want to thank our longtime sponsor of this program, Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. Also want to thank Justin Barker of Powell Broadcasting. Justin, the longtime producer of Grow Siouxland each and every Saturday. And I would be remiss if I didn't also thank Christy McManamy, who is the new host of this program. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to return to the airwaves and to interview you, Doug, this morning. Some very significant developments in your many decades of employment in Siouxland and specifically with Security Bank, and we're going to get to that and maybe make some news on the program today. But before we do that, as we do each and every Saturday morning, we introduce our guests to the listening audience, and you're a Sioux City kid.
I am, Chris. Grew up in Sioux City on the north side. Kind of a wonderful location from this for a young guy growing up. Our house on the 2900 block of Jennings Street was halfway between Hubbard Park and halfway between Leif Erickson Park, and actually about a block from the North Branch Library as well. So anything a kid would want was there. And, you know, in those days, I'm dating myself, but there was a lot going on in particularly the summer times in those parks and the programs that were available. And even in the winter, lots of memories of ice skating up in at Hubbard Park. They froze the rink up there.
Well, believe it or not, you and I share a childhood on the north side of Sioux City. I grew up at 32nd and Jackson Street, about a block and a half from Blessed Sacrament and Bryant School. And I rode my bike to Leif Erickson every day in the summer. And I also played ice hockey and played some of the games on the rink at Hubbard Park, which was frozen, I believe, by the fire station. I think that was the how that used to work back in the day.
I think you're exactly right. I remember going up there and watching them spray the water around.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
And so anybody on city council that's listening, let's bring those days back, because I have great memories of ice skating at Hubbard Park as a kid.
Yeah, I do too. Looking back on it, I don't know if we would have passed the OSHA standards some of the stuff.
No, there's absolutely no way the rough and tumble games that, I mean, you and I talked about this pre-recording, playing last guy, and some people may not remember that, but you put one kid in the middle of the ice skating area and put everybody at one end, and he or she called out last guy, and everybody skated across. We didn't play two-hand touch. We played tackle.
Exactly. You tried to get to the other end, and if you didn't make it, you paid the price.
Yes.
You get your head bounced off the ice once in a while.
And for those who may not be familiar with last guy, you know, if Doug were the person out in the middle and I was trying to skate past and he tackled me on ice skates on ice, which was the game, then I joined him and I had to help get other kids until there was only one person remaining, and that was the last guy.
That was the winner.
Yeah, that was so much fun. Those are great memories. And then playing baseball, Little League at Leif Erickson.
Absolutely. I was fortunate. I remember the name of the team I played on, Eagles, and our coach was Swede Nelson. Swede was kind of famous around Sioux City.
Absolutely.
Loved baseball, big Yankees fan, big Cubs fan, and Swede took it very, very seriously. And he had a couple of sons on that team as well. Bob and Ray Nelson were two of his that I played with. And we had a pretty good team. We had a lot of success.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It's funny how these memories stick with us, Doug, but I played Little League Baseball at Leif Erickson for Home Federal Savings and Loan back in the 70s. And I could tell you the kids on the team and the color of the uniforms and the other teams that we played, but you know, those
were
great
in that
memories.
Same league. I remember playing Home Federal, yeah.
And I remember the Parks and Rec. You know, we had three baseball fields at Leif Erickson at that time. They took out two of them for the new swimming pool, not so new any longer. But and then there were a lot of parks and recreation activities at Leif Erickson when we were kids.
Yes, there were. And it was a lot of fun for those that wouldn't know. They had, I'll just call it the green shed that was in the park locked up. But that's where all the games and all the entertainment were. And in those days, starting around noon, it would be supervised activity, and I don't know if you'd call him the park director, but somebody was assigned to that park, got to know the kids. They would unlock it, and whether one was playing a board game at the picnic table or tetherball, it drew quite a crowd every afternoon.
I spent a lot of summer afternoons at Leif Erickson with Parks and Recreation. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM. Our guest today is Mr. Doug Rice. Doug is the chairman and CEO of Security National Bank. And Doug, tell us about growing up in that neighborhood and where you went to school.
Well, I went to school at Bryant, Chris. But if I could go back just before the your announcement there, it triggered a memory of that park, if I could share it.
Sure.
Just a quick story. So, you know, I saw you recently at Saturday in the Park, and what a wonderful event that that was, with the headliner, Joe Bonamassa, and he referenced a Sioux City connection, you know, our own Tommy Bolin.
Yes,
and
played his guitar.
Played his guitar and talked about, you know, as he was studying his craft, that Tommy Bolin was one of those magical artists that had an influence and does on so many guitar players today. You hear that reference. But let me take you back to Leif Erickson Park. That was just a nice shout out for the Saturday and the park festivities that really makes for great quality of life here. So I wandered over to the park one afternoon. You can relate to this. It was a little bit quiet at that point. And so I was sitting at the picnic table talking to the supervisor or director of those activities. And another young lad walked up, and the park director knew him. So he introduced us, and we started to play checkers. And we'd played a couple of games of checkers. And then the supervisor said to him, you know, it's kind of slow right now, but a lot of kids are going to be showing up. He said, Tommy, why don't you go and get your guitar and play some music for us? And he said, oh, you know, he responded to the supervisor, you know, I got to walk back home. I got to get my guitar and I got to drag an amp up here. It's pretty heavy. And so I said to my new acquaintance, I said, no worries, I'll be happy to help you. We'll go down and I'll help you bring the equipment back. So he took me up on the offer and we headed east on 31st Street. And if you remember your local geography, Chris, Valley Park Apartments are right there.
Of course.
So, by the way, I had several paper routes as a young man. One of them was Valley Park. But anyway, so we walk down through Valley Park, get to 29th Street, make a left turn and a right, and we're on Clark Street. We go about a block and a half. There's the young man's house. He gets his equipment, his guitar and amp, and between the two of us, we carry all this stuff back up to Leif Erickson, and he gets plugged into play. And now I think you'll see where this story is leading to. That young man was Tommy Bolin. And so I do think to this day when I hear his name mentioned or the activities in the park, certainly brings back that memory. He was a really nice young man to spend an afternoon, so my afternoon with Tommy Bolin. But maybe, just maybe, I have the distinction of being his first roadie.
Yes.
You know what a roadie is, moves the equipment. I may be Tommy Bolin's first roadie. Who knows?
Hey, take credit. That's a great story. Now, were you and Tommy contemporaries in age?
He was 2 years older.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, my birthday's in August, and his is as well. I looked it up, the same month, but he's 2 years older.
About how old would you have been?
So I would have been, give or take, you know, I'm like 10, 11,
okay,
you know, right in there, and he's 2 years older, so he's a 13-year-old, and already, but you know, he was, by the time he was 14 and 15, he was so accomplished. He was playing in some pretty impressive bands locally, you know.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
And then went on to Deep Purple, of course.
Right.
And
James Gang before that.
Yeah.
I mean, Zephyr before that.
Yeah.
He's in the, you know, Colorado Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then his own band, you know, the Tommy Bolin band, and his brother, Johnny, who is a drummer with an iteration of that. So.
And what a great tie-in to Saturday in the Park a short time ago with Joe Bonamassa coming up and playing Tommy Bolin's old guitar.
Right, right. And Quint, you probably wouldn't know this, but this is the 50-year anniversary, unfortunately, of his early passing at the age of 25.
Yeah, I don't know an awful lot about electric guitars, but I do believe that Bonamassa played a Les Paul classic electric guitar that once belonged to Tommy Bolin.
Yeah, I think he's collected two of Tommy's guitars. I don't know which one he played that day. Yeah.
What a great, well, you know what, we got to find one of those and get that history in the Sioux City Public Museum.
There you go.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland. My name is Chris McGowan. I'm serving as your host, pinch hitting for Christy McManamy today. Our guest, Mr. Doug Rice. Doug is the chairman and CEO of Security National Bank, also a current member of the Siouxland Initiative Board of Directors, the economic development arm of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce. After a short commercial break, Doug's going to share some of the history of his 5.5 decades with one single employer right here in Siouxland. We'll be back after this short commercial break.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? Call NAI United, the leading commercial real estate firm in Siouxland, serving our community for over 20 years. Connect with their experts, Bo Bronker, Nathan Connolly, Lawrence Jensen, Madison Crayhead, Aiden Vanderloo, and Chris Bogenreef. NAI United agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota, which means they can assist you regardless of your location. NAI United has commercial real estate solutions for you. Visit NAIUnited.com. To learn more. For all your commercial real estate needs, call NAI United.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, sitting in for our regular host, Christy McManamy, who's away on vacation. And our guest today is Mr. Doug Rice. Doug Rice, best known as the chairman and CEO of Security National Bank. We've just learned that he was also the first roadie for Tommy Bolin. What a great story. And did Tommy end up playing guitar at Leif Erickson that afternoon?
He did. He plugged things in and got started. And you know how it is when you're a kid. I don't even think I stayed that long because I had to get home at some point. But it was a great afternoon and a great memory for me.
That is a great memory and quintessential Sioux City history. And so Doug Rice, who once went to Clark Street to pick up Tommy Bolin's guitar and amplifier so he could bring it back to Leif Erickson and perform at Parks and Recreation for a bunch of other preteen and teenage kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. That's such a great memory. Doug, so you're a ninth grader at North Junior, is that right?
It is, yeah. After Bryant, my next stop was North Junior. And again, great experience. You know, you meet some new folks transitioning into another school and broaden your network, so to speak.
And tell me, high school was where?
I went to Sioux City Central.
Okay. Yeah. And in high school, were you involved in lots of different activities? Were you a good student?
You know, I was a reasonably good student, I think, Chris. And I also look forward to the opportunity to participate in some sports. So by the time I got to Central, I had kind of fine-tuned it to where I was going to run cross-country and track and enjoyed both of those. Had some really good teammates. To give you an example, on the cross-country team, we went to the state tournament in the mile team race and finished second place. And in fact, one of my teammates, Ken Haringa was his name, was the individual state champ. He was the winner of that, but the team did well. And then track came around, and I was more of a distance runner, run the mile or the 2 miles. So I had some success, and I remember that year as a sophomore in the city meet, which was kind of the big wrap-up to things, I was able to finish first place in the 2 mile, and our team got the win.
Yeah, so. You know what? Those are great memories. And then off to college locally as well.
I did. I decided that I would give college a shot. I will tell you, Chris, that I grew up in a household where I was very fortunate, had wonderful parents. My father was a tool and die maker at Sioux Tools, and my mother worked at Palmer Candy, and I had one sister, Carol is her name, fabulous sister to have. So we had a great family atmosphere. And they instilled a work ethic in me. So I bring that up so that one of the reasons I picked a local college, Morningside, was I was going to get a job and pay my tuition and buy my books, you know, as I was going to school. And so I had interviewed locally with a couple of places, and Security National Bank being one of those. And the interview went well, but they said they didn't have an opening at the time, but they'd call. And so I started my freshman year at Morningside. And in October, I got a phone call from Eleanor Moline, who was the head of HR in those days. And she said, we have an opening if you can start next week. And I said, I sure can. So that's how I started my career back in 1971 at Security National Bank.
And you're a freshman in college?
Yes.
A freshman in college. And what was that first job at Security National Bank?
I was a teller and started in the vault wrapping coin. And in those days, the benefits were for food stamps, you know, were not electronically based on a card. So literally, and we had so many of the grocery stores that banked with Security, these food stamps would come in, or coupons. They were like Monopoly money. And we'd bundle those up and send them in for credit. And then from there, I advanced to the teller line and interacted with customers.
Well, and of course, as we said in the first half of the program, and as we kicked off the second half of the program, this year you're culminating 55 years of employment with Security National Bank and going to retire as the chairman and CEO. It's quite a story, quite a climb.
You know, it worked out very well, obviously, with the benefit of hindsight. One of the things that I found was helpful, and I would give this advice to a lot of young people starting out, and there's lots of different ways to measure success in one's life, but if we're going to put it in the context of a career and how one advances, there were two things I was always conscious of as I learned how to do things at the bank. You know, you'd be given a job or a task. I also wanted to learn why. Not only how do you do this, but why are we doing it this way? And once you understand the why, that really gives you an opportunity to even change processes, evaluate workflows. Are there ways that we can improve? And I tried to focus on that throughout my career.
Doug, I've known a fair number of the senior executive leadership at Security National Bank, going back to Gene Hagan, Rich Waller, yourself, you will be passing the baton later this year, if I understand things correctly.
Absolutely. I have plans to retire later this year, and we have an outstanding management team in place, and so we're well prepared. It's been a transition plan that's been underway for several years, and I will be passing on my titles and responsibilities to Jeremy Craighead, who currently serves as president of Security National Bank, and I remain chairman and CEO, and Jeremy Ewell, who is also executive management currently and the treasurer of the company. Those two will take on additional responsibilities.
You know, obviously Security National Bank will remain in good hands, and congratulations to Jeremy Craighead and Jeremy Ewell. But I also want to take a moment to say thank you to you for your leadership. I have always said that the banks and financial institutions in our community have been consistently among our very top community supporters, philanthropists, engaged in our community, supportive of our community, and Security National Bank has always made that a priority. It really is part of your culture.
It is, Chris, and thanks for bringing that up. Now, you know, it's very important for a bank to be active in a community. It is going to contribute to the community's success. But we have always had a philosophy at Security Bank of not only taking care of the customer, but investing in the people, products, and services needed to help them achieve their financial success. And we also have a culture at the bank of really wanting to help people. When we hire our talent, it's important that they have that characteristic. And that leads to a number of things. Not only do they take care of the customers, but I'm amazed at the volunteer work that our employees are involved in on their own time. And yes, the bank has also been very generous with monetary contributions.
And I think we recognize that as a community. But it is worth noting, as you just said, the number of employees who populate the boards of directors of so many not-for-profit organizations throughout our Siouxland Tri-State region.
Absolutely. And, You know, when I started out, one of my colleagues, mentors at the bank encouraged me to get involved. So I did. You know, my first involvement was with Saratoga Club in Sioux City, a great organization. Using my experience as an example, we have others that do this. I served on the library board, past president of the library board, was on the airport board, both when it was an authority and then owned by the city. And then we've been involved in chamber work, as you know, and TSI, and the list goes on. But there are so many of the quality of life things, whether it's the art center, the symphony, that yes, we've had our people involved in those activities.
Well, Doug, in the final 2 minutes, I just want to share a personal antidote. The first time I met you was at a lunch meeting when we were recruiting a company. And Rich Waller was serving on the board of directors of the Siouxland Initiative at the time. You and Rich were both senior executives at Security National Bank. But I remember watching you at that lunch, and it left a profoundly positive impression with me. I came from a Fortune 500 sales environment before going to law school and then ultimately ending up at the Siouxland Initiative. And I thought I knew sales pretty well. But I watched you work that project, and I mean this with all the sincerity that I can muster. I've never seen a better salesman than Doug Rice. That was a masterclass.
Well, Chris, you know, it's humbling to hear you say that. Thank you very much for that compliment. And I've worked closely with you. You know, I'm past chair of TSI, and we've tackled a number of initiatives and made an impact. And you, I want to just compliment you for your years of service and what you've done on behalf of economic development for the community, improvement in quality of life, whether it's building housing for this community or making sure that we have the infrastructure it takes to attract industry and businesses to Siouxland. Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and God bless and Godspeed as you near retirement after 55 years with Security National Bank.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Look forward to remaining in touch with you in the future. And thanks for having me on this morning. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for being our guest. Enjoy the balance of your Saturday, Doug. You've been listening to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ Radio, a Powell Broadcasting Station. Our guest, Mr. Doug Rice, retiring chairman and CEO of Security National Bank, and perhaps Tommy Boland's first ever groupie. We're very, very blessed to have you on the program, Doug. Thanks for all you've done for Siouxland over the last 5.5 decades, and we wish you well in retirement. That's it for this week's edition of Grow Siouxland. Christy McManamy will be back next week with another episode. Make it a great weekend.